God will speak to you today through his holy word, Psalm 127. And let me explain why I'm preaching to you today, because I know some of you are concerned, especially my eldest daughter, who tried to convince me you must not preach this Lord's Day. You've taken the vacation. You need to use it. I know one of you today said, where's the TV? Why are we not watching a sermon? And I almost did. I actually couldn't decide for sure until this morning. So I'm going to be sharing with you more in a devotional way. I want you to know I haven't spent much time, although I've thought a lot about this. I've thought about it so much that I felt compelled to give the message today, partly because of two ladies who have returned, one who has returned, one who has visited us for the first day today that I mean to encourage together, and kind of have had a view of where we're going to go with some scriptures. I'm compelled to preach this scripture to you, and I frankly did agonize a little bit today whether I should preach or give you video sermons, but I guess also with our brethren from the Netherlands here, and first time with my lovely wife back with our new sound system, I kind of want her to hear it, but especially with Mr. Vossink back after many years, it's hard to look out at him and not preach to him. I want to give him a sermon and to his lovely wife. So I have his wife in view, with my wife, especially with why I'm turning to this text today, considering that you are both with child, and that it is both your first child, and I'm hoping to encourage you and encourage all of us. And frankly, you don't mind my saying, another young woman and mother among us who's in the cry room with her young child, I guess I have you in mind as well a little bit too, okay? Not only for your present child, but perhaps for some other wee little ones in the near future. So with that, may God guide us. We're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke also. We're going to read a large section of the Gospel of Luke, and we're also going to turn to just two verses in the Gospel of John if you want to mark those as well. We turn to Psalm 127, and if I remember, I'd like us to sing it together at the end before we pray. Hear now Psalm 127, a song of degrees for Solomon. Notice even that before we continue, not by Solomon, for Solomon. We know King David is the writer of most of the Psalms, that's why we call them the Psalms of David as a whole. Notice it's even interesting with this psalm that it says for Solomon, which is his son, right? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Amen. Well, before we consider verses 3 to 5, which is really what I want to give our attention to mainly, verses 3 to 5, I'm kind of thinking through how do verses 1 and 2 relate. And to be full disclosure again, I haven't done an exegetical analysis of the scripture, so I'm thinking more devotionally with you, topically with this sermon. But it's interesting to consider these verses, because verses 3 to 5 almost to me seem like, where is this coming from? How does that have to do with verses 1 and 2? And I think of something that Fernanda said to me last night, I think, and I shared with the children as we continue to marvel the Lord has given us a child so soon when we thought we might have to struggle for a while because of some medical things, as you know, from an earlier sermon about Hannah and how God has answered our prayers. She said, you know, we were just talking about how we value children, and she said one thing that encouraged her about me when she was looking at my Christian Mingle website page, which is where we met, is she saw me with David. Not my son, but I had some recent pictures from the Puritan feast, and I was holding him up and playing with him, and she said, I think I like this guy. He likes kids. You know, I think he'll be a good father, you know. And I'm not sure if she thought David was my son at the time, but I didn't really have a caption to explain. But she'll still notice when I pick up David, she is encouraged to think about our next son coming. But something was interesting. She said, you know, she had a pretty serious boyfriend years ago in Brazil. And at least one of the reasons she decided not to continue with the relationship, much to my benefit and to all of our benefit, is because he didn't want to have children. And that was not a life she wanted, a marriage without children, if it could be had. Now, the Lord has to give the children. But to decidedly say, I don't want to have children, I said to her, if I met a woman who could have children and didn't want to, I wouldn't be interested, because that's just unnatural. It may be the Lord has a certain situation where that can't happen, but to just not want them is not my idea of a biblical woman. And so she said, when she asked me, just to make sure when we were getting to know each other, so would you want to have more children? I said, absolutely. I'm really hoping to have more children. I'm kind of excited you're just 35, young lady. Maybe we can have a few. And she was encouraged to get that confirmation that I wanted to have children, if the Lord would allow. And I'm thinking about what she said about this other man. I don't want to have children. I'm too busy. I work all the time. And she said money was his idol. So think about that with verses 1 and 2 that are leading into what a blessing children are. Verses 1 and 2, except the Lord build the house. What kind of house are you building? Just a physical one? It's not going to last. Jesus says, build your house on the rock. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Oh, it may be very beautiful for a while, but it could be empty of anything real inside. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Don't work yourself to the bone to have all the riches of this life. I mean, some people, that's all they do is work. And they sacrifice their family, or they sacrifice having much of a family for work. It almost seems like this psalm is saying, don't build your life upon having a career. Which is also encouraging to me. Fernanda gave up being a lawyer in Brazil. She can't practice here without a lot more training. Why? She was unsatisfied. She wanted children. She wanted to be married and have children. I could almost imagine a lot of people saying, what are you doing giving up your career? You work so hard. She had a scriptural, biblical, womanly heart. She came to America because she felt that the Lord would give her a husband and children. She saw our four children and thought maybe that's how the Lord would give her children. I remember at first I was afraid she wouldn't want to have children when she was writing with me, but it turned out she was afraid she could not. And the Lord gave her four children whom she adores. And another one, a fifth one. But what are we doing having children so soon? What are we doing having so many children? I mean, beloved, isn't that something you hear out there? And if it isn't something you feel from looks? Yes, children are a sacrifice. You have to live differently and simply. But they're also an unbelievable blessing. Yes, I've told my lovely wife, yes, you'll be tired. There will be sleepless nights. But when you suckle that baby and you turn to that little one looking up in your eyes and it's yours from your body, your soul, and from your marriage, there's nothing like it. It's incredible. And it whatever challenges there are, because that's what tends to happen. People will talk to the new mother, especially in a first-time mom, and it seems like all you hear about is all the problems. You know, like, gee, thanks a lot. You know, and I think that you see this today. What about your career? Maybe you only have one, so you can go back to work. I don't know. What about all the things that you want to have? What if you can't afford certain things? Children are expensive. I've heard people say that. How can you have so many children? Somebody said that to Fernanda at English class. Wow, your husband must make a lot of money. I'm not quite sure how she answered that one, but to have so many children. Well, the church takes fine care of us, but it's a matter of priorities. I said to the children last night, yeah, we live our lives differently, and we're going to have a fifth child now, and yeah, it goes through our mind, how are we going to provide? We're not going to worry about it. See, here it says in the first two verses, it's a vain, empty thing. That's what vanity is. It's an empty thing to build a house and sacrifice the children. Maybe that's the connection. Sacrifice having children. Sacrificing having a family. The world and many Christians today will tell you, ladies, you're just married. Why didn't you wait a while? I mean, people told Fernanda to do that. I mean, it was practically day one of marriage. You shouldn't have a baby right away. Because children are a problem, is the way the world acts. And sadly, the church is too worldly. And we act like children are a problem. That's vanity. That's a vain, empty way to build your house. Oh, you can fill it with all kinds of things and make tons of money and barely have a close marriage, and barely have any children. And you know what? You get to the end of your life. You get to the end of the day. I said to Fernanda, you know what? In 5 years, our little boy, I have some ideas for names, but I have to be careful. He's going to be Isaac, and Isaac will be Abraham, 5 and 10. And I said, I can't believe how fast it's gone. I can't believe he's 10. I can't believe Isaac's is 5. I said, you know, by that time, Fernanda's going to be in her 40s, and I'm going to be in my 50s. Wow, you know, get ready. I said, by then, I'm not going to have any hair. So the point of it is life goes so fast, and we all know from many different experiences how fast life goes, and you never know how long you have somebody. So get going, and don't waste your time on an empty house built with all kinds of things and a lot of money and a huge career that at the end of your life means nothing, because Jesus says, you fool, tonight your life is required of you, and all the barns and all the things you filled them with, you can't take it with you. But what can you leave behind? A family that can follow you. What do you want? Who's going to be around your deathbed? I've already pictured it. I'm going to have my children. Hopefully my wife, unless she's taken first, but, you know, what a blessing. Wouldn't you like a lot of them? See, as your children get older, too, they don't just bring challenges. They're an amazing blessing. You know what? It's just amazing to have children come up to you and want to be with you. But also, as they get older, they do a lot of things to help you around the house. I've told Fernanda, she's got a unique situation she's married into, but she's also got a special opportunity. She's got two young ladies built in the house, babysitters, to help her as a first-time mom. In fact, I said, you'll have to be careful. They won't want to give the little guy back to you. Children are a great help to us. Children support and be with us in our old age. That's the way it's supposed to be, as many of you are now taking care of your elderly parents. Obeying the fifth commandment, trusting there's a promise in it. So the vanity of verses 1 and 2, you can stay up late, you can get up early, you can always be on the highway or on a train going back and forth to work and never be with your family. And never be with your children, or never have children. That's an empty way to live life. And what an empty way to end your life. Instead, lo, take a look at it this way, beginning with verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Remember when we look and studied Hannah? It was God who closed her womb. So if the Lord does not allow children, that's nothing to feel ashamed of. It was God who closed her womb, but then he opened her womb. It was God who gave the child. We'll see that in special ways as we turn to the Gospel of Luke today. Children are an heritage of the Lord. If children are a heritage of the Lord, beloved, we need to countenance them that way. We need to look at our children that way. Children, this is one thing I want you to hear. You're precious. You are precious. And, you know, beloved, as we train our children how to behave in church, and sometimes we might get a little tired and frustrated of noises, and that's not that we shouldn't be training them, and they need to be spanked, and they need to be disciplined, and they need to be quiet. But they're supposed to be here to learn how to do it. May you remember that they're precious. As you hear their noises, you say, oh, how precious. Oh, how precious. And I want our covenant children to hear that, how precious you are, including to the church. You're an heritage of the Lord. You're our heritage. You're our legacy. Verse 3, you are the fruit of the womb. The womb, children, is mommy's belly. We often talk to it. I've already been talking to mommy's belly. I love to sing to the child and talk to the child. And when she got home, I guess I didn't do it at the airport like I planned to, but when we got home that night, I got down by her belly and I said, hello, son. Hello, my son. They are a reward. Think of, again, the word reward. What is a reward? It's something we want. It's like a treasure. Children, God says you are a reward to your mother's womb. You're a reward to us, to our family. You're a reward to the church. You're a gift from God, a precious reward. And it needs to be told to you, because just like pregnant women, I think are often looked down on as if it's not enough. It's not enough to be a mom, you know, a full-time mom, because the reality is if you're not, you're paying someone to be mother while you go out and work. I get tired of seeing pregnant women feel insecure because of the world and the way it's gotten. And I get tired of seeing the way that the world and too much of the church looks at children. And if you have another one, and you might dare actually fill another pew with them, the first thing that is said is, how do you afford that? If you're asking that question, you don't understand Scripture at all. You would say, praise the Lord. Another reward. Surely God will provide. I want the children to hear you are precious heritage of God, and you are a gift to the belly of your mothers. And perhaps some way the Lord graciously, sovereignly will allow the children in the two wombs here right now hear that you are a reward. And I want to encourage Fernanda and Yanika. Am I saying that right? I'm sorry. Okay, I have to try hard. It's foreign to my ears and eyes, but it's beautiful. I have to work hard. I'm so paranoid I'm going to say it wrong. I want to encourage you to maybe touch your womb right now and just think about what's in there and that it's a gift of God. You know, we were amazed when we saw the first sonogram a few weeks ago, and as I think some of you know, we had thought we lost the baby because of some things that were happening, and we were very sad and we were very scared. And perhaps some people would say, oh, well, now take your time. But no, we were grieving. And then when the midwife did the test, she said, I'm pretty sure it's a miscarriage. I started to try not to cry. Had a Brazilian translator looking at me in the face on a video screen, so I tried to keep it together. And Fernanda said she was devastated. And then the sonogram, it wasn't apparent there was any baby there. And then, I'm over here! Mom and Dad, everything's fine. Toodle bum. You know? And there he was, the little guy, and his heartbeat was. I mean, it was strong. They said, and then we, maybe like 8 or 9 weeks, we saw these little arms moving around. I couldn't believe it. I forget it's that defined already. That little, and it reminds you that's a life there. That's a life God put there. It's growing. It's a human being. It's a reward to your womb, and you need to see it that way and be grateful. Whatever you're going through, whatever might be put into your ears, and maybe I'm wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised if you have naysayers, discouragements. And just you remind yourself what this Bible says. I know what God says in His Word. This baby in my womb is a gift from God. And if we remember it's a gift from God, we would never even think of aborting it, would we? Let alone all the other reasons. If we know it's a gift of God, we would approach the whole pregnancy with all the difficulties with a thankful attitude. If it's a gift of God, we are preparing to treat it like a gift of God when it comes out, not saying, oh man, life's going to be so hard, but oh, life is going to be so amazing. And I promise you, first-time moms, it's going to be amazing. You're going to love it. You are going to love it. I know this with Fernanda because she's got such a mothering instinct, but some things have been said to her, and I assure her last night, and that's what put me over the edge. All right, I'm preaching Psalm 127 today. I'm going to do it, you know. Because I also got excited. Do you understand how glorious children are, people? Remember, you have a reward, but he doesn't just talk to mom. He talks to Dad here too. Now you get two verses, Dad. Look at verses 4 and 5. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So notice this. Children, you are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Dad, you want to remember that your life is supposed to be about what you do with your children, not your career, not your cars, and not your hobbies. Your life is about how you raise your children for Christ in the church. That's your whole purpose in life. What is an arrow? His quiver is, you're blessed if you have the hand, an arrow in your hand, a mighty man. You could translate that skillful, someone who knows how to raise their children and has a whole purpose and desire. My life, my focus is about raising up good, holy children who love Jesus and love to serve him. In your hand, what is an arrow? Just think about the picture. An arrow in the hand is put into the bow and stretched back. And if it's an arrow that's been made straight to walk along the straight and narrow, it hits its target, man. It can hit it from a long distance. That's what you're supposed to be doing with your children, men. But you're supposed to be recognizing you've been given something to shape into something amazingly powerful to impact the world. You're supposed to have lots of children. Why? To take over the world for Jesus Christ. To send out children who love Jesus and have been trained to love Jesus and go out there and live for Jesus and impact the world. That's the amazing thing you have, men. And men, we like action. We like to think about proactive work, you know, so the women get to hear about the precious reward in your womb, but the men get to hear about this arrow. You're going to shoot out. The more arrows, the better, right? That's verse 5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. You could say, children, that the focus is on you. Notice in verse 3, children, you are a heritage, you are a reward to your mother's belly. Children, verse 5, you are like arrows in your dad's hand to impact the world. And you're like arrows in his bag. So, okay, the next one up, the youngest comes out, next one, right? Men, you see, you've been given something amazing to value and to take good care of. You know, some of us love our guns. If you know a guy that loves his guns, I shouldn't just say guns. I've met some women who really love their guns, and that's fine. But we take very good care of them, and we make sure we know we have our ballistic training, and we know how we're going to fire them, and we get our training to do so well. I mean, we take it seriously. See, the thing is, an arrow can kill. If we don't train these arrows, they can come back and even kill our own hearts. They can boomerang back at us in ways that can destroy us and destroy our family and destroy our churches if we don't plan to train them into straight, well-working instruments for the kingdom of God. If we think our jobs are more important, if we think things and influence are more important, and we neglect our children, we waste our greatest resource, men. We limit our real impact on the world. I don't care what you invent. I don't care what you make. I don't care what you sell. It is nothing compared to what you make out of your children, let alone that you have them. You're supposed to recognize you've been given an extremely valuable tool to make your greatest influence in this world. Don't waste them. Don't waste them. And where you train them, yes, is taking them to church. But if you don't do church in the home, you're going to waste them because they're going to think you're a hypocrite and they will leave. Be happy that you have them. Be happy if your quiver is full of them. Now, let me give this disclaimer, this caveat, disclaimer, I guess I should say. I remember one of my professors in seminary said, yes, it says that blessed is the man whose quiver is full, but not everyone's quiver is the same size. So maybe some people have 10 children, maybe some people have 8 children, and some of us have to be satisfied with 4. Yes, I started high, but in this day that sounds high, I'm kind of starting there to be silly and make a point. Let me tell you, when we were in Texas for Presbytery, most of the people we met had like 7 or 8 kids. That is something that you will be judged for today. You will be considered irresponsible because you cannot give your children enough money, enough certain kinds of school, enough certain kind. How about you raise them yourself as the Bible teaches you? How about you raise them in the Lord? How about you take family as the most important thing in life and you go for it? It may be that your quiver is only two. It could be it's only one arrow that fits in your quiver. I'm thankful to know it turns out there's room for at least one more arrow in my quiver, God helping us. But I'm praying that not only will we have a little Latino, that we'll have at least a little Latina as well. I'm hoping there's a little more room. But the point is, if God's given you a quiver with room for arrows, it's empty of its use. Your bow is empty of its use. What God has made you to be is empty of its use without children or without raising them as if they are an incredibly precious commodity that you should focus your whole life around. I'm not saying spoiling. Oh, by all means, spank them. Proverbs, if you don't spank your kids, you're an abusive parent because you're raising them to be a brat and think the world revolves around them. I'm not talking about not spanking them. There's a lot of verses in Proverbs about that. I'm not talking about spoiling them. I'm talking about devoting yourself to them, to raise them for Jesus. Because that's what you swear to when you baptize them. I understand what you've given me, Lord, as Hannah did, and now I offer them up for service in the church. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They won't be ashamed. As you grow older, you're not going to regret one of those children. Not if you've raised them right. Not if you've trained them right. You're not going to regret one of them. And they will speak for you in the enemy's gate. They will represent you. It's like you're building an army around you for Jesus to serve, to go out there. It's amazing to me. My children are unbelievably loyal, vicious to a fault, if I'm not careful. And if you raise them and you're careful, it doesn't mean that, I mean, they've seen a lot of bad things in me, as any child does. But if they know you're trying to serve Jesus seriously and that you truly love them and you're doing your best and you say you're sorry when you're wrong, they are fiercely loyal to you to the end. They will be there for you through everything. I mean, I can't help but think, Fernanda, had you not married and not had children, at some point in your life, who would be there for you? Well, now you have four children who are fiercely loyal to you. One day you're going to be gray, God willing. You're going to have gray hair, and you're going to need the support, and you're going to have it. And now you got a fifth on the way. I mean, it's just amazing to think about. God provides these children to be an army around us, to support us, to grow. I like to say the Van Leeuwen tribe. You know, I think about the tribes of Israel. I like to refer to us that way. Well, they were tents around God. They were armies advancing forward. Now, you know, I understand the disclaimer of the judicial ceremonial law. You know, we're not taking over the world as they took over Canaan, but we are to take over the world. And I want to remind you before we continue about the numbers, there's a reason the Muslims are taking over the world. And I know you've heard this before. It was said in seminary to me. I've seen videos about the statistics of it. It's probably not likely we can ever catch up to them. They don't have to kill us. They just outpopulate us. They're having a lot of children. And Christians have very few children. So they're taking us over easy because there aren't many of us anymore. I tell you what, in a few, just a little while, just with our own children, think about what this church can look like. You pray for that. Pray for these children. You help us. You work with us. You train these children. You train them. Praying for their husbands and wives. We're already, some of the older ones, we're already having some talks and looking at certain boys, and you know. And I support that because I think it's Jeremiah, if not Isaiah, says, I'm supposed to go help them find their wives and husbands. We're supposed to be involved in their lives, helping to shoot them out the best we can, the best trajectory possible, which is to land in the church and impact the world and have their children. This psalm emphasizes, don't build an empty house of God or a family with no real family. have children. Do you realize how blessed you are to have children? Children, do you realize what a blessing you are to your parents? And let me say on behalf of parents, we don't always communicate that to you well, because we can get tired and frustrated, and we're sinners too. So let me say, you are a great, great blessing. And I was thinking about this psalm and felt compelled to preach to you today about it, again, because of our young mothers, our first-time mothers. And I just kind of had fun thinking about, they've not met each other. I've not met Yanika, and it's neat. It's exciting to have Herko come back to us married and with a child already. And we rejoice with you, as I know you rejoice with us. And I just kind of pictured Fernanda and Yanika meeting with their bellies. Like, I mean, okay, not like their bellies touch and they collide. What I mean to say is they greet one another, and I just kind of pictured their hands on their bellies. You know, I mean, I know they're not as far along where maybe one hand's on their back, you know, but I just pictured that. I've been thinking of that for months, just pleasantly. Oh, isn't it lovely? I'm so excited for them to meet. And they're both newlyweds, and they're both already expecting children. And I hope they'll just encourage one another about being young wives and soon to be young mothers. And I had another scripture in mind, thinking about picturing you two. And I'd like to turn there with you now. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, the Gospel of Luke. And if you'll bear with me, I'd like to read decent sections from the Gospel of Luke here, just in chapter 1, so don't worry, not too much. But I'd like to read long sections just to try to, I want to encourage you to just feel Psalm 127 in these verses. I haven't said the verses yet. Let me just help you feel what we've just read in Psalm 127. I want you to see in these women how you women should feel, and how you should be made to be felt by us for having babies in your wombs. I want you to see their interaction. I want you to see their rejoicing. It's interesting what Elizabeth says. And I want you to think about the impact of these two babies, these two boys in their wombs. That being said, both of these boys' lives brought certainly great heartache to their mothers, because of what they had to suffer for the kingdom of heaven. But if your children are to bring you any suffering, may it be for the same reason, because it's about the kingdom of heaven. And there should be rejoicing in what they're going to do for the kingdom of heaven on earth. So feel Psalm 127 in these verses. First, we look at verses 5 through 25. We look at Elizabeth. And similar to Sarah, it doesn't seem like she should be of age to be able to have a baby. And look what happens. As is said later to Mary, nothing's impossible with God. And let me say this. I was just reading through my devotions this week, and I started Luke, and I started on these two chapters, and I said, I got to preach this. Come on, here it is. Yeah. So in God's providence, I really hope that he wants you to hear this today and encourage our new mothers and those who might want to have more children and are thinking about it and could be discouraged about too close together. Verses 5 through 25, Elizabeth and John the Baptist in her womb. There was in the day of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And they appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Now, before we continue, isn't that beautiful? Don't worry, Zacharias. I've heard your prayer. Elizabeth is with child. Now, how long must have this man been praying for his wife? And remember, Hannah, for years, was crying out to God and finally crying out in the tabernacle. And God heard her and gave her a child. And what does Samuel's name mean? God has heard me, or God has answered me. And so here, God heard the prayer and says, I've heard your prayer, and I've given you a child. And again, that's exactly what happened for Fernanda and me when we were afraid we couldn't have one. God heard our prayer. Verse 14, "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great." I mean, let me just stop for a moment. Elizabeth, you are really old. You can't have a baby right now. Are you crazy? Do you realize how much this is going to be difficult for you? No, they are rejoicing. Verse 15, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Look at that. Even from his mother's womb, he's already filled with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist. It's appropriate for us to pray the Lord would bless our children in womb with faith in Jesus Christ. More on that in a moment. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." You see how this arrow is going to be shot out? "And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." Notice that, glad tidings. Hey, I have an announcement. She's pregnant, and that's a glad tiding. "And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Now, do you notice what she said right there? Psalm 127, a biblical view of children. This is not for any woman who can't or does not have children to feel as if she's a reproach, but today is a day to encourage pregnant women. And I think pregnant women in our day are treated like a reproach very often. And I think women who choose not to have children for a career are treated like they're the smart ones and the great ones. And so today, let us show the pregnant women how precious they are and how precious it is to be pregnant. Do you see what she says? God has taken away my reproach. What was the reproach? All these years I was never able to have a baby. And she understood that with scriptures like Psalm 127 is not to have a reward. Just as Hannah was crying, please, please let me be pregnant. And Elizabeth sees being pregnant, even though she's not saying, oh, I'm so old, how am I going to do this? She's saying, praise God. Praise God. He's taken away my reproach among men. I no longer have to feel ashamed. I am a mother too. This is not to say those who are not mothers are to be shamed, but just see here, pregnant women, you are not to feel shamed for choosing to have babies and to have them soon. Elizabeth and Hannah would say, you go, girls. Right on. Amen. You have those babies and you be happy. Let's look ahead to, I'm sure they would say it in a more holy way, but let's turn now to verses, well, we'll stay at verse 26. Now we're going to look at Mary. Now, certainly we know that she is with child by the Holy Ghost and not by her husband. Nonetheless, let's look at this pregnancy and how they interact. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, certainly it's especially because it's baby Jesus, but still, the cause of her being blessed is that she's pregnant. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in the days and went into the country with haste into a city of Judah. This is the part of the story that I just couldn't help but think about our two young mothers to be here. I just thinking of you getting to meet today. You know, everything's not similar, but I've been thinking about this. And Mary entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now, does that sound like Psalm 127? The fruit of the womb. Children are a reward as fruit of the womb of the mother. And so here we have it said again to Mary. Now, she's young. What are you doing having a baby so young? Oh, and here's the thing. Maybe understandably so, but you can imagine she probably had some awkwardness. Where'd this baby come from? It's a blessing. And God is going to change the world with these babies, these two boys. Notice again, John the Baptist. What did he do when he heard Jesus, the name of Jesus, when he sensed Jesus in the womb of Mary? It's amazing. His cousin, he recognized, right? He leapt in the womb. What would that have been like? I mean, we know what it's like when you'll feel the baby more and more. I was talking to a woman who's had five children, and she said, by the fifth child at 10 weeks, I could actually feel the baby. I recognized it wasn't gas. I was experienced. And I started, I'm like, wow, I didn't know that was possible. You know? But she was saying kind of like what we know you experience, you're going to literally see the baby's foot or hand. You're going to see the skin. It's going to be, whoa, I've been invaded. You're going to see and it's going to be incredible. And you're going to feel the baby hiccup, very likely. I mean, you're just going to feel the baby moving all around, and sometimes your organs are going to feel it, you know. But the baby moves, and the baby will respond to stimuli. Your husband's sing, the baby often will respond to that. The baby will respond to what you eat, how you feel. But this, I think, is different. John the Baptist, I imagine Mary saw him leap. And I'm pretty sure Elizabeth, whoa, did you see that? Who did I feel that? And I mean, how do they know that he was leaping because of Jesus? I think it was something special that is interpreted us by Holy Scripture, but I think they were able to interpret John as responding to Jesus. But you see, it said earlier in the chapter that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, where we have faith is from regeneration of the Holy Ghost. Being born again is not something we do. Just as John and Jesus didn't do anything to be conceived and born, John doesn't have anything to do with having the Holy Ghost. He's given the Holy Ghost, and that is where faith comes from. So we can be looking at our children and raising them to be Christians and calling them Christians and marking with the sign of being a Christian, which is now baptism. Recognizing these are gifts of the Lord. These are gifts in the womb of a Christian woman to be raised by her and her Christian husband in the Lord for the church. And I encourage you women, as you have these children growing in your wombs that you are preparing, and husbands you are preparing, and church as the family of God, that you're all preparing to help us raise these children to make an impact on the church and on the world for the Lord. Because that's why they've been given to you. They really haven't been given to you for your own joy, although that comes with it. They come for God's glory. May you raise them to give God glory and to enjoy him and to make a big impact for Jesus Christ and the kingdom of heaven. So that in the end, after Judgment Day, you and I are worshiping them with our new bodies, worshiping God with our new bodies with them. On the new heavens and the new earth. You know, they say you can't take it with you. And we're not ultimately in charge of the souls of our children, but we are in charge of how we raise them, and the Lord uses means. May it be that you and I raise our children and straighten them out, that they are serving Jesus in this life, and that they are with us in the next life. You can't take anything else with you but your children. You have to have them for that to even be a possibility. See, everybody wants you to think about verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 127, that you should be spending your life vainly, staying up late, working your finger to the bone, sacrificing your children so you can have some kind of job, some kind of career, so you can feel important to the world. But what you need to be focused on is raising those children to be important to you and to be in heaven with you. Because that's the only thing you can take with you. Everything else you have in your house, you go home and look at today. Look at your car. I'm not talking about things as inherently evil. We need things to do life. But how many things have we spent way too much time on? Or how many things have we had them spend way too much time on? You know, one of the things we've been talking about as a family is we need to live more simply with time. There are so many wonderful things to do, and you can't do them all. I mean, even in our homeschooling network, we observe sometimes, you know, I think they're too busy. I think they're doing too many things. We have to be careful because we have to have family time. We have to have family worship. We have to take care of family first. There's even a temptation in the Christian world to want to be able to brag about our kids and kids to be able to brag about all the things they do and how they're just experts at everything. Who cares if they're not serving Jesus? Truly. Who cares if they abandon the faith in the church? Who cares if they don't end up in heaven? Who cares what job they get? Who cares what education they have? Who cares how good they are at things? Who cares what their house looks like? Who cares if it's an empty, vain house and Jesus isn't there? Young mothers, recognize what God has given you and raise them for him, and like Hannah, offer her up to the Lord. Fathers, recognize what you have in those quivers and in your hands, and you prepare to impact the world for Christ. Because at the end of the day, that's all that this is about. And at the end of the day, that's all that is left in eternity. Children, do you recognize nothing greater could be given to your parents than you? Because nothing else can come with your parents to heaven but you. Children, you are precious. Pregnant mothers, you are precious. And the children in your wombs are precious. Husbands, what you have is precious. And I feel emotional saying it because I know the world doesn't think so. You are trained, even in the church, to think you have a problem. You do not have a problem. You have a precious gift. And you are precious gifts to carry them for us. And we as a church, are they not precious to us? Has God not given all of us a precious gift? May you and I think of it that way and act accordingly. It all starts with how you think, what you value. And I am aiming to deprogram a little bit and reprogram all of us. We're all influenced by what people say. What you have is precious. May you rejoice, and may you young mothers tonight talk about your morning sickness and talk about all you're going through and share your experiences and support and encourage one another. And remind one another to get to the next place, and that's where I want to close. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. We turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Gospel of John, chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 21 and 22. So I want to say this for our young expectant mothers. I know it's scary, and you, I'm sure, have in view labor and what you're going through with morning sickness or hot flashes at night or all kinds of different things. And frankly, therefore, what the husbands are going through. Did I say that out loud? Okay. But sorry. It's all worth it. I see you laughing, smiling. Okay. I wasn't off. Okay. It's all worth it. And as we raise our children in this church and we have to teach them how to behave and help our young parents know how to help them behave and work through the noises and frustrations, we have to say it's all worth it. These children are not problems. They don't need to be sent to some children's church. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, thou hast ordained strength. Psalm 8, verse 2. Jesus quotes it when the children are praising him in Matthew 21, remember, and he says, have you not heard? Out of the mouth of babes and suckling infants, thou hast perfected praise. I want you to look ahead with a vision of us. Past labor, past 9 months, past labor, past the difficulties, past the early months where you're not sleeping well. I want you to look with me to 5-6 months. I want you to look with me to that first year. I want you to think about this time next year. I want you to think about where you're going to be. And remember what Jesus says here as an illustration, speaking of something that he states as a fact. Verse 21, a woman when she is in travail, that means when she's giving birth, when she is in travail hath sorrow. You know, we don't sugarcoat it. Yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to hurt. And yes, being pregnant is difficult and uncomfortable and challenging. But look at this. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon, notice that, as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. For the joy that a man is born into the world. That's going to be you, our precious pregnant ladies. You're going to get through that pain. The 9 months will be behind you. And you're going to hold that baby, and you are going to rejoice. And you're not going to be thinking about anything else but, I have this baby. You're going to be happy. I promise you, you're going to be happy. Verse 22, and you know, therefore, have sorrow. Excuse me, and ye now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Now, Jesus is making an application here. You and I, as the church, are going through birth pains. We are going through labor right now as a church. You go to the Revelation chapter 12, and the church is given to us in the picture of a pregnant woman giving birth. Not only to the Christ child and the dragon waiting to eat him, but also she's going to have more children, his children. And the dragon will still try to kill them. You, the church, are the mother of the children. Those often say, he who does not have the church, this is from early church fathers, I think it's Cyprian, those who do not have the church as his or her mother does not have Christ or God as his father. I mean, God uses the church to birth his children. And we go through labor pains as a church, do we not? Wouldn't it be easier to say, you know what, I'm just going to give myself to the world and worry about worldly things because this is hard. But God says that is vain. Keep raising the children of the church. Keep helping us. Keep recognizing there's nothing more valuable that you can do than to come alongside and help us raise our children, because at the end of the day, that's all that's left. The church will be the only one standing. The meek will inherit the earth and her children. Look at the end of Psalm 122 again. Look at the end of Psalm 45. You and I are going through birth pains, and the Satan is trying to kill us and our children. And what you need to remember is when you get to heaven, you won't remember the pain. You won't remember the difficulty of serving Jesus. You won't remember all the labor pain. You'll just be so happy to have served Jesus. And God willing, you'll be so happy to see your children there with you. Let me encourage you that may have wayward children. Own whatever might have been your responsibility that plays a part of that. Don't deny it. And don't stop trying to straighten them out into a straight arrow. Don't give up on all the painful trials and labor it is to do it. There is nothing more important you can do with your lives. What a joy it will be in heaven, when there's no more labor pain, amen? What a joy it will be in heaven when we are with Jesus and we are singing with our children around his throne, the militant church now triumphant. The message for you today is pregnancy is precious. Hannah knew it. Elizabeth knew it. Mary knew it. We as a church should know it. And Psalm 127 says it very clearly. Pregnancy is precious. I want to encourage you, as you speak to our young mothers, you say, praise the Lord that God has already given you a baby. Praise the Lord, God is adding another arrow to your quiver. Wow. I want you to think about, what's God going to do with this baby in my womb? What's he going to do for Jesus in this world? Don't be worried about cribs and, you know, worried about clothes. God says, you know, if you have clothes and food, you have everything you need. I'm not saying don't do those things, you know. Be thinking about, how is this child going to be used for kingdom ministry in this world? And I can't help but wonder if this next one may not be sent as a boy back to Brazil one day to do missions for Reformed Church, perhaps with the Puritan Project there in fledgling form. See, if you think about your children that way, how precious they are as a gift from God who wants to use them for the kingdom, for the Prince of Peace, it's a whole different life. You'll have whole different children because he's entrusted them to you to make them that. Don't exasperate them, Ephesians 6. And to exasperate them is to not raise them right in the Lord. And it's hard work to raise good children. Do it. And sacrifice anything else that would vainly get in the way and build an empty house. Even if there are children there, but they don't know the Lord. I want to reiterate, pregnancy is precious. You know, I was careful. I wanted to say it, and I don't know how to say it without sounding like weird, but maybe if you'll indulge me, I'll try to say it for the sake of hopefully blessing you ultimately. And I'm not surprised my wife's giving me a funny look like now, oh boy, what's going to come out of his mouth this time? But tolerate me, please, and try to work with me. I often say, pregnant women are so beautiful. And I really mean it. Pregnant women, there's just something about you. We talk about this glow, right? But there's just something amazing about you. And I love to see pregnant women. What they have is such an amazing gift. The responsibility, the opportunity God's given them is amazing. And you do look beautiful. You're not fat. Can I say that, please? You are not fat. Get it out of your head. You're pregnant, and this is precious. Your husband's, all they say is beauty. Am I right? Yeah. He didn't have to think long about that. He's like, oh, yeah. You're so beautiful. As you grow, there's just more of beautiful you, and it's not going to stay that way because it's going to, he or she's going to come out. You know? Because we know what you're giving us, all your sacrifice. And I hesitate to say it because there's this saying, women should be barefoot and pregnant. No, that's not what I'm saying. You know, by all means, wear shoes. But but you really are. Women should be pregnant. I mean, generally speaking, God has made you to do something we men cannot do. And we kind of marvel over it. I often say, I don't know about you men, I feel like such a helpless wimp. I can't do anything to suffer with her. You know, I feel bad. And I know the women probably want to say, oh, poor you. You can't do anything. How hard for you. No, but really, you have to go through so much. But only you have wombs. Only you are made and designed by God to birth children. Yes, God has given your husband something to do about being able to have children, but only you can have them. And it's just incredible. And we marvel over, we watch at your body change in a way only a woman's can. It's incredible. It's beautiful. You are beautiful. What you have is amazing. Pregnancy is precious because children are precious. And your pregnancy is precious. So you pregnant women are precious. And you're not a problem. I know sometimes we're not always good at showing you're not a problem, but when you're tired and maybe sometimes cranky, did I say that out loud? I don't know. But whatever you're going through, and we don't always handle it well because we can be tired and cranky too. You're not a problem. You are precious to us. You are an unbelievable blessing to us that we get to serve you in serving the Lord Jesus Christ in bringing a child, a life into this world, and especially in this context, into the church for the service of the kingdom of heaven to the glory of God Almighty. Blessed be his name. Let us pray. O Lord God, just as Mary and Elizabeth broke out in praise to you for these babies that you had given them in awkward situations and moments to show your glory and to show the value. So we value these babies in the womb. And we pray your blessing on the mommies and on the daddies. We pray your blessing on all of us as the family of God. We pray for your blessing on these children that already you would give them faith in the Holy Ghost. That is, give them the Holy Ghost, that they would already have faith, that they even now would be hearing the voice of Jesus and leaping in their mother's wombs. We pray you bless our mothers to recognize, new mothers or mothers already, to recognize their value, having sacrificed themselves to bring life into the world. And we pray you bless them to remember what a reward they have from God and to always see their children, whatever their situation, as gifts of God, to treat that way, to raise that way. Lord, we pray that you would help us because we are sinners and we can often be tempted in our weak moments and times of trials to discountenance our children and speak poorly to them. Help us. Help us to always bless them, to know they are children of God and a gift of God. We pray your blessing on our covenant children, that you would bless them here to know they are precious in your sight. You love the little children. Such is the kingdom of heaven. Out of their mouths, even those suckling yet without words, you have ordained strength and perfected praise. Lord, the world will train us, the church will often sadly train us to consider babies as an interruption to our lives, as a problem that will cause us unhappiness, as a sacrifice that perhaps is even unworthy. Forgive us, Lord. Let us rejoice that you have seen fit to give us children, and let us raise them for you. Take as many as you would give us and send them out into the world to impact it for Christ, having been straightened and well-trained and shot out by a skillful master archer. We pray for your blessings on our parents and on our families, that you would help them to recognize the precious things they have and not to be vain with all the other things of the world because we feel like we have to keep up with the Joneses or impress them and try to justify ourselves before them. It's a fine time to be married. It's a fine time to have a baby. May you bless us to full term and healthy births. And may you bless us with many more, including others in the room, who may be thinking about these things and need to hear from this sermon and not from the world. You have that baby as soon as you like. You couldn't have anything better in your life. So, Lord, bless us to recognize that pregnancy is precious. And we thank you for these precious gifts of life. We pray you help us to raise them according to the narrow way that leadeth unto life, following after you, Lord Jesus, who art the way, the truth, and the life. And we ask your blessing over all of it, that it would not be time spent in vain, but full of kingdom ministry for eternal purposes. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, before we close with a benediction, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to Psalm 127 in the Bible. I'd like to sing it together, having meditated on it together. Well, I won't explain it as I've just gotten done doing that. Page 293, Psalm 127. The only thing I will say is later you might turn to 128 and see it continues to say how precious children are for grandparents. So it starts to talk about how great it is to have grandchildren as well. This is the way the Bible looks at children. We'll sing all of page 293. Please stand.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Except the Lord do build the house, the builders lose their pain. Except the Lord the city keep, the watchmen watch in vain. 'Tis vain for you to rise betimes, or late from rest to keep, to feed on sorrow's bread so gives he his beloved sleep. Lo, children are God's heritage, the womb's fruit his reward. The sons of youth as arrows are for strong men's hands prepared. Oh, happy is the man that hath his quiver filled with those. They unashamed in the gate shall speak unto their foes.
Amen. Now turn back with me to Psalm 125 for our psalm that we sing to close our morning services.
La 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 la. They in the Lord that firmly trust shall be like Zion Hill, which at no time can be removed, but standeth ever still. As round about Jerusalem the mountains stand always, the Lord his folk doth compass so, from henceforth and for ill men's rod upon the lot of just men shall not lie, lest righteous men stretch forth their hands unto iniquity. Do thou to all those that be good thy goodness, Lord, impart, and do thou good to those that are upright within their heart. But as for such as turn aside after their crooked way, God shall lead forth with wicked men, on Israel peace shall stay.
On Israel peace shall stay, not on the crooked who vainly build their houses that will not be on the rock of Jesus Christ, and so they will be crushed when floods and storms come, certainly at the end of the world. Only peace comes from Jesus. He offers a peace that is not of this world. From the God of peace, he gives the peace of God. And he gives it to our children. He blesses it on our families. So I give you the benediction from Numbers again, chapter 6, I believe. And it was given, as we're going through the book of Numbers, to the church. And who was there? As the priestly blessing was to be pronounced upon the church to say, you are blessed. Do you realize you have it good? You have God. You have God's family. Well, who was standing there among them? The children. They were included to receive the blessing, just as they went through the Red Sea and they went into the Promised Land as adults, the children. So, take this blessing from God, from Jesus Christ, your high priest, and children, know this blessing is also to be upon you. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance and give thee peace. Amen.